These days, we're putting more info about ourselves than ever online. From social media to online dating and everything in between, our internet personas are constantly growing.
But there's a lot of danger out in the digital world, and our online identities can easily come under attack. There are hackers, scammers, predators, and many other online ne'er-do-wells. So how do we make sure we're staying safe when we're using the internet? And how are we keeping our kids safe, too?
Joining us now with some advice is Tyler Cohen Wood, Cyber Branch Chief for the Defense Intelligence Agency under the Department of Defense. She's not speaking for them right now, though. She's the author of Catching the Catfishers, Disarm the Online Pretenders, Predators, and Perpetrators Who Are Out to Ruin Your Life. Tyler, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much, Rob and Veronica. It's great to be here.
Well, we spend a lot of time doing stuff online one way or another, but I get the sense a lot of us, and I'll include myself here, we don't think these online identities are important as our real selves. Maybe we don't take it seriously. Are we wrong? Are we ignoring something important here?
Absolutely. In fact, I would go to the extreme and say that our online identities are nowadays even more important than our real identities. Because recruiters, HR recruiters, college boards, any potential employer, potential date, they are doing reconnaissance on you, and they are putting together a perception based on the image that you present online.
Well, it seems like a lot of people act like there's a line. Here's the personal stuff I'm doing online, and that's where I'm going to put the drunk party photo, say. And then my professional life is over here, and they're never really going to mix up.
And that, unfortunately, is just not necessarily true. Privacy settings can change at any time, and they do on your social media sites. You really have to start thinking that everything that you post can be accessible by someone that you may not want to see you in that light.
And it's such a moving target, isn't it? Even if I went to the trouble of reading social media sites, say, terms of use agreement and user agreement, I have made it through the 8 pages or whatever, it can just change without me knowing it, and the old rules no longer apply. Am I right?
That is entirely true. I mean, I do recommend reading the terms of service and also paying particular attention to the applications that you install on your devices, because a lot of times those applications are privacy risks as well. And what I mean by that, I call it application permission creep, and that is where applications that you have installed on your phone might have access to other more personal applications without you necessarily knowing. Most applications will tell you that they're doing this in the terms of service, or if you look at the permissions of the applications. But what if I were to say, Rob, you and Veronica are having a text message conversation about something that you do not want for anyone else to know. You probably make the assumption that that's personal between just the two of you. But I'm telling you, that's not necessarily the case. And if you look at the permissions of some of the applications that you install, such as Google Hangouts, Google Now, they tell you in their permissions that they have the ability to read your text messages, they have the ability to send text messages, and they also have the ability to sell those text messages to third parties.
I'm guessing that a lot of people using that information are just going to try to sell me stuff, which might be annoying, but maybe doesn't bother me that much. How can the identity we create online help criminals, people who want to rip us off in one way or another?
Well, you have to be really careful with the things that you choose to self-disclose. You might be really careful about never posting your birthday, or you might be really careful about not posting your pattern of life, but it's really easy to put this pattern of life together. And you can see when people will say happy birthday to you on social media sites. And you can see, you know, sometimes there's something called EXIF data, which comes along with modern day photographs. It's something that the cameras do. I teach you in my book how you can actually turn that off. But what EXIF data is it's information about the camera, including the exact geolocation of where that photograph was taken. So if you post that to some social media sites, some social media sites will strip that EXIF data out, but some of them don't. And you could be giving away the location of your house. of your child's preschool or any of the images that you're posting.
You talk about somebody getting in trouble at Burger King because of the EXIF data. Can you tell that story?
Oh, yes. So this was a guy who he thought he was completely anonymous, and he posts a photograph of himself with his dirty feet in a bucket of lettuce. And he's with a caption saying, "This is the lettuce that you eat at Burger King." And he didn't have any identifying features. It was just his feet. And he posted it to a social media site called 4chan, which does not strip the EXIF data. And within about an hour, people were able to find him. They located him, and he was immediately fired.
So people can put together a lot of information about us based on us, you know, putting fairly innocuous stuff or what seems innocuous. Who is that? Who are the bad people out there trying to collate all this data and use it for what?
Well, there's bad, and then there's also not necessarily bad. So you have commercial entities with big data analytics that want to collect your data to sell it to third parties and to market things to you. Then you have predators who are actually targeting your children for insidious reasons. And then you have people who are trying to target you to steal your identity and open up loans and credit cards in your name. And then you also have people that are potentially trying to physically hurt you.
So we're getting a little scared, our end of the phone line here. Should we just give up this whole internet thing?
Absolutely not. Social media is one of the most powerful tools that we have at our fingertips. We have access to people we never had access to before. We have access to experts in our field. We have instant lines of communication. But you have to understand the risks, and you have to understand the threats to the things that you post. And if you manage that properly, you can really use this tool for success.
Well, let's talk hygiene here. What are a few of the basics that we should be doing or maybe not doing when we're online to protect ourselves?
Well, you want to be careful about the information that you self-disclose. You want to be very, very careful about information that you self-disclose about children. You want to sort of segregate the sites that you go to. And some sites, the privacy settings are going to be a little stronger than on other sites. For example, if you don't want the two to link. If you're on a dating site and you want to keep your identity private to everyone who has access to that site, you don't want to do things such as use the exact same photograph that you use to your personal social media site, because anyone can very easily do an image search, a Google image search, and find any other photograph anywhere on the internet that matches the one you used on your dating profile, and they'll see your social media and they'll get personal information on you. So that's one thing that you can do to kind of protect yourself. You want to also be careful about using a different username, because if someone does a Google search, they're going to also find your social media site. And again, you want to try to keep those things segregated.
So try to use different images, different names, different whatever you can when you're on one site versus another.
Absolutely.
We're talking with cybersecurity expert Tyler Cohen Wood about keeping our online information and our digital personas safe. Her new book is called Catching the Catfishers. Coming up, we'll talk about who and what catfishers are and also advice to give to kids when they first start using a phone, first start going online. You can join in with your questions about online privacy and safety at 800-642-1234. Call in now at 800-642-1234. Or post, if you still have the courage to do so, on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with cybersecurity expert Tyler Cohen Wood about staying safe online, from engaging in safe online dating to protecting ourselves against scams and hoaxes and everything in between. You can join in with your online security and privacy questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Tyler, I mentioned earlier, I wanted to get some advice on people whose kids are going online for the first time, maybe getting their first smartphone. What are the steps before you put them in the driver's seat there?
So it's a lot easier to work with a kid when they're just getting their first smartphone than it is to work with a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old who's had their smartphone. They've been using their apps for a while, and they already think that they kind of know the lay of the land. When you're starting off with your kid, the best thing that you can do is sit down with them and go through the different applications that they're going to be installing. And you want to make sure that you're friends with them on all the applications that they're using, that you understand what these applications are. And you also want to inform them about the consequences of some of the things that they might post. But more importantly, you want to teach them how to vet if who they are talking to online is actually who they claim to be.
And that starts to get us toward the title of your book, Catching the Catfishers, Catfishing. Well, tell us what that is.
So catfishing, it was it started off as a documentary, but then it turned into this MTV show called Catfish. And what it is you have people who've been dating for many years online. They've never met each other. And when they eventually meet, it turns out that one person has been lying to the other person. And that term has sort of gone viral with the younger sect. So a catfisher is someone who is not telling you the truth, someone who is lying to you about who they are.
And that could be just, someone in your peer group who is trying to make themselves look better or different than they are. It could be, however, more dangerous than that. Can you talk
Absolutely.
About some of the risks there?
Absolutely. It could be someone who's just adding a couple of inches to their height or taking away a few pounds. But it could also be a predator who is targeting your child who is claiming to be, you know, a 13 or a 16-year-old boy but is actually a 47-year-old man. So it's imperative. In the book, I actually have a Catching the Catfishers checklist that teaches you how to vet if people really are who they say they are, and it is very important to go through that checklist with your child. I had a friend, it was a neighbor, whose 16-year-old daughter started dating a guy online, and he claimed he was 16. And the father was involved, he was invested in who his daughter was talking to, but he was concerned. And he asked me if he could use his checklist, and they went through some of the topics in the checklist, such as, you know, will this person Skype with you? And in fact, the guy would not Skype with her. Will they send you real-time photos? And that means, will they send you a photo of themselves in their location right away? Or do they only send you one photograph? And it turned out he had only sent one photograph, so I suggested do a Google image search, see if you find that photograph on someone else's Facebook page. And sure enough, they did find that same photograph on someone else's Facebook page, and it was very obvious that the other person's Facebook page was a real Facebook page. They had friends, they had banter with friends, and when the girl told this person she was talking to, she questioned him about this, he disappeared.
Hmm. So when do you go to the authorities with something like that?
Well, I mean, you can go to the authorities with something like that almost immediately. If you realize that your child is talking to someone who you suspect is a predator, you can contact them right away, especially once you have that type of evidence.
Let's go to a caller. We've got Donna on the line in Milwaukee. Donna, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. Do you have a question or a story?
Well, I have a story. I got divorced. It was like 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, and my ex-husband moved to Germany. He met this person online, and yeah, anyway, he's becoming a German citizen, and he is supposed to go through me, according to the court, to find out what the kids are doing. Well, we also have older children, and the older children, you know, they post photographs and stuff like that. Well, my ex-husband seems to know what we're doing and when we're doing it and stuff like that, and while we were married, he was extremely controlling and domineering, and he's good with the computer stuff. And I'm trying to convince my kids that he can find this stuff out, and they don't understand what I'm saying. You know, that they're like, that's not possible.
Donna, thanks a lot for that call. And I'm guessing Tyler, that this is not an uncommon story, anything from stalking by an ex to maybe risks of domestic violence related to that kind of stalking?
Unfortunately, it is not an uncommon story. And one step that you can take right now is you can block this person from all of your social media. But you really have to get that message across that this is a dangerous situation to your children, too, so that they block this person from their social media, too. Or you can go a step further, and some social media sites will let you control what you post to whom, and you can put this person, your ex-husband, you can put him in a category where he'll only see some things that you choose to let him see.
Donna, thanks for that call. Still time for your call if you have a question about online safety at 800-642-1234. Tyler, I wanted to also ask you about cyberbullying, mostly an issue for kids in school, school-age kids, though for some adults too. What kind of things should parents be looking for when it comes to cyberbullying?
Well, there's different definitions of what actually constitutes cyberbullying, and the most important thing, if your child is being cyberbullied, whether someone is threatening them, whether someone has done something called facelifting, and this is where a bully creates a website claiming to be your child and posts nasty things about your child, or posts pictures that put your child in an unflattering light. And there's certain things that you can do. And if you want to press charges, whether it's criminal or civil charges, the initial reaction to most parents that I talk to about this book is, well, I know who the person bullying my child is. I'm going to call their parents. But that's not necessarily the first response you should have if you do plan on pressing charges. You want to collect evidence, and you want to use a screen capture tool to actually capture what it is that you're seeing, the entire web page as it is. You want to take copious notes, such as the date and time, and then you can contact the authorities with this information. Now, if you're just interested in having it removed, that's when you can contact the ISP that houses that information, and they will most likely remove it because it's against their terms of service.
But the first step is do that screenshot, capture that information.
Yes, if you plan on pressing some type of charges. And one of the things that, you know, we talk about all these data analytics and all of the, you know, the ISPs, all these applications collecting all kinds of information about us, and we say, you know, it could be a risk to our privacy, but this is actually where it turns out to be a good thing. Because you can have the authorities send something called a preservation letter to these ISPs, and what they will do is they will hold that account and they will start collecting all kinds of data from that account. They will see what IP address posted those photographs, if there's EXIF data in those photographs, and all kinds of other information that can help identify who the suspect is.
This almost feels old school, but what about, you know, those old-fashioned email hoaxes, you know, the Nigerian prince sort of thing where you get lots of money if you put in a little money or a bank account number at the beginning? I hope most people aren't falling for that. Are there more sophisticated scams coming our way now?
These scams have gotten so sophisticated. It's no longer the old-day scams where you could pretty much determine that it was a scam. I've seen people send these to me all the time. I've seen ones from what looks to be PayPal, from various banks, and what they do, it looks exactly like the real website. Everything about it is accurate, except for there's one little thing missing, like maybe in the domain name and the email address, there's like a little E before the bank name, or something's just a little bit off. But they look really legitimate, and they say, you know, you need to go to this site. It looks just, again, like the real site, and give us your account information. But what I can tell you is that no bank will ever send you an email and ask you to put your account information in. When you get those emails, do not listen to what those emails are saying. Either delete it or report it as spam.
And so if we think, gosh, this really might be a real thing and I'd really like to check that out, obviously you're saying don't click the link. How would we find that out in a legitimate way?
What you would want to do is you would want to call the number that you have for your bank, and you would want to talk to someone at the bank. You would tell them about the what you've seen in the email, ask if this email came from them. Not the number that you see on the website that, that you're looking at, but the actual number that you have for your bank. You know, even the number that's on the back of your card.
Tyler, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Tyler Cohen-Wood is a cybersecurity expert. Her new book is Catching the Catfishers, Disarm the Online Pretenders, Predators, and Perpetrators Who Are Out to Ruin Your Life.